change, and that is a foundation upon which we can stand. But this morning, it might surprise us to hear the next thing that I'm thankful for. How many of you know our church, particularly right now, we fellowship in what's called the GARBC. Does anybody know what GARBC stands for? All right, a few of you know. General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Now, we know what that says, but how many of you know what a regular Baptist is? That's a little more challenging, isn't it? Regular Baptist, it was a movement that actually started in England way back in the early 1800s, and there were differentiations taking place at that time and among different groups of believers, and there was an emphasis among the regular Baptists at that time to reintroduce, not introduce for the first time, but reintroduce some items in their doctrinal systems that maybe had let slide a little bit or hadn't been so emphasized. And that same movement then carried itself over to the United States. And then as some of the larger Baptist denominations in the United States unfortunately began to soften in some of their doctrinal positions, groups pulled out of some of these softer groups and wanted to call back to a stronger position in some areas. And at that time, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches in the United States was formed. And along with another group called the Conservative Baptist Association, they all formed about the same time. And they were actually responses to liberalism going on in many of the denominations and in many even Baptist circles at that time. And one of the greatest tenets that we don't actually hear a lot about today, and I think there are reasons we don't hear about it, but we find it here in Psalm 97 and also in Psalm 99. And so follow along in your Bibles as I read the first 9 verses of Psalm 97 and then the first, 9 verses of Psalm 99. All right, so let's just follow along. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, O all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Psalm 99. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them. though thou tookest vengeance on their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. The great need, of our hour is that we discover not new truths, but revitalize old truths. And in this passage, we have, I believe, a truth that we need to revitalize, or we need to rehearse, we need to emphasize more in our midst. And that is the truth that we find in the first three reads of each of these two psalms. The Lord reigneth. What do we call that truth that the Lord reigns? Well, that's another way of saying the sovereignty of God. All of these psalms in this particular area of the psalms are psalms that exalt the fact that our God is ruling, that our God is the king, that our God is that one who reigns. And you know what we need today? We need truth that reminds us that our God is not dead, but we have a living God, a sovereign God, that we have a God who is working, a God who is actively engaged in overruling and shaping the affairs of nations and of lives. Our God reigns. And I'm thankful today that our God is sovereign. Now, I believe that there is a reason why the sovereignty of God has had a lack of attention, and that's because of a doctrinal system called Calvinism. Now, I'm not going to be preaching on Calvinism this morning, but I want you to know that in doctrine, if you read our doctrinal statement of our church and of the GRBC, you'll find that we are very Calvinistic in nature. Now, if you were to ask me, well, Pastor, how Calvinistic are you? I would say, well, I lean more heavily toward Calvinism than I do Arminianism. But you know what I would rather be called than either of those two titles? I'd like to be called a Biblicist. And I reject all the tenets of Calvinism. But you can't reject all of those tenets, or you'd have to reject some of God's word. And one of the things that Calvinism is built on is on the sovereignty of God. And because we sometimes don't like all of the tenets of Calvinism, we reject Calvinism point blank, and we shouldn't be, because sovereignty of God is a part of that teaching, and we need to embrace that. And certainly, we need to be influenced by the fact that God is sovereign today. And certainly, this creed or this doctrinal teaching of sovereignty can have a very humbling effect upon us. And it should have a humbling effect upon us. If God is ruling today, and he is, what then should our response be to his ruling? We should humble ourselves before him. We should bow before him. We should submit ourselves to his authority. But this sovereignty of God is also an ennobling thing. And you say, well, how can it be humbling and ennobling? Well, guess who has asked us to serve him? Has thrust us into ministry today. It's that sovereign God. And he has chosen us, and he has called us, and he has sent us into ministry for him. And so, yes, it humbles us, but also it ennobles us as his servants today to be able to serve the sovereign God of this universe, and that the Almighty God would want to use creatures like you and me to serve him. And certainly, as we look at this truth, we're going to see that it is a wonderful part of our heritage, and it is a wonderful opportunity to trust him and rely upon him, and to not fret because of evildoers, because our God is still in control. The Lord reigneth. And did you notice when we read these two psalms, the next words after each of that phrase in the beginning of those two psalms, what did the first one say in Psalm 97? That the earth should what? Rejoice. And what did Psalm 99 say? The earth should tremble. There's at least a twofold response to the truth that God is reigning today. One of those should be that we should rejoice. I'm sure that there were some who thought it, if not spoke it. In the recent things that are going on in the world today, Paris being an example of that, but it's happening not just in Paris, it's happening all over the world. We don't even hear at times about all of those who are being killed by this movement called ISIS and so forth. And I'm sure there are people who are wonderful people who say, well, where is God? Why is God allowing this? I thought God was in control. I thought God was loving. Can't God stop this? And there are all kinds of questions, but the truth is today that this statement about the sovereignty of God, about his reigning and ruling, should cause both joy and fear to mankind today. The earth should tremble, and the earth should rejoice. You know, isn't it wonderful to be able to face different situations in life? And having faced those situations, we can say this: that was God's will. It gives us confidence. It gives us peace. It gives us security. It gives us answers. It's God's will. And certainly, we don't have to agree with God's will. We have to accept God's will. And certainly, do you remember when Gideon had his army that he was raising up and how God kept paring it down? And eventually, how many were there? 300. And when they smashed the pitchers and let the light shine, and they shouted, what was it that they shouted? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They were recognizing the one who was really in control that day. They were recognizing that the battle was not theirs, but it was the Lord's. They were recognizing that the victory that would be given would be victory from God. And so it was the sword of the Lord. And certainly, we all need to be brought in line with the fact that our God rules today. Our God reigns today. And it's only as we have had a softening where we have at times not viewed God as the mighty God, but we have viewed God as the loving Father. And it's not wrong to view God that way, but we cannot exclude the fact that God is also the mighty sovereign one. And that ought to bring a certain response to our hearts when we view God as that high and holy and mighty and lifted up one who is sovereign. And these royal psalms, as they're called, remind us of that truth today. And they remind us And I'm going to go to Psalm 99 first and go back to Psalm 97. But it reminds us that there ought to be a very strong sense of awe. You remember when we were studying some of the miracles in our study, and then we studied before that some of the parables on Wednesday night. And somewhere along the line in our studies, I'm struggling to remember exactly the context, but the fact that we call a lot of things awesome today that aren't awesome. For a little while yesterday, I watched a particular football game. And there were some nice plays, there were some spectacular plays. Some people may have even said that was an awesome play. But I'm totally convinced in my own heart that we use that word awesome for a lot of things that aren't awesome. And you know who is the only one who is truly awesome today? That's God. And he's the only one that we should view and see and stand in awe of. And how does the Word of God say it here? Let the people tremble. Let them be affected with awe. And this is a seriousness. This is a solemnity to it. And there's been a trend in recent years to seem to ignore the sovereignty of God and just play up the fatherhood and the love of God. And again, not that there's anything wrong with viewing God as the Father and viewing God as that one who is loved, because he certainly is, both of those things. But we aren't quite where we ought to be because we are refusing to recognize his sovereignty. We ought to have a sense of religious awe, a sense of reverence, a sense of godly fear. We ought to think about coming into his presence with trembling. Many times we come so light-heartedly into the presence of God. And we become, I think, at times a little too over-familiar with God. And perhaps we go to him like a child would go to a father and try to cajole him to give in to their wishes and their desires and their wants. And we fail to recognize that we are dealing with the sovereign of the universe. And we need to recover that lost sense of awe in our midst today. This Psalm 99 actually has three stanzas to it. Each of the three verses form groups in here. So you have nine verses. You have three groupings of verses in this Psalm 99. And the first three form the first verse, and the 4, 5, and 6 form the second verse, and 7, 8, 9 form the third verse. What is consistent about all three verses? They all talk about the holiness of God. Notice how verse 1 ends. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Then it's the middle verse of the next stanza. It says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And then verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. You can never separate the sovereignty of God from the holiness of God. God is ruling. He is that holy one who's seated on the throne. And he is that great one in Zion, and he is that one that deserves our praise, and he is that one that we should be exalting and certainly worshiping. And so We have a picture of holiness enthroned. Isaiah had that same picture, didn't he? In Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And certainly, we need to recognize the holiness of God today. And so it should inspire, first of all, a sense of awe in our lives today. But it also should give us a happy confidence. You don't have to raise your hands, but did anything happen in your individual life this week that was a little disturbing? Did anything happen that upset perhaps your plans, or was not a pleasant situation, or something that you just maybe lost a little joy over? You know, circumstances, people, things, worry can all rob us of our joy. But you know what gives us confidence and gives us a confident joy this in our life? That God's in control. That God is the one who is accomplishing his will and his way. And that should give us a happy confidence, just like it says here in Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let us be glad that God is in control today. This is a happy trust. You know, there was a certain play years and years ago that took place, and there was a line in this play that said, "God's in heaven, all's right with the world." Well, you know, that certainly should be true in our lives, that we approach life with the fact that God's in heaven, so everything's right because God's still on the throne. Several years ago, there were certain philosophers that were promoting this God is dead movement. I remember seeing a cartoon one time in a little Christian paper that had some little boxes with the cartoons growing, and there was a sign that said, "God is dead." The second sign had "God is dead," but at the bottom there was a little vine starting to grow up on the around the post that the sign was on. In the third, the vine had grown a lot more. In the fourth, the vine had covered the whole sign except for the words "God is." You know, the sign maker said "God is dead." God caused a plant to grow up there that said, "No, God is." And certainly today, maybe in our lives we would not ever declare with our mouth, "Oh, God is dead." But do we ever act like that? Do we ever allow our demeanor or our thought life or our facial features to ever reflect that we might fear that God is dead, or that God isn't here, or that God's not working? And certainly, this gives us a happy confidence when we know that God is reigning. God decides the fate of nations. God raises up nations. God lowers nations. And certainly, we can be distracted when things happen that perhaps we question, but the truth is we need to have this calm, happy assurance, this confidence that God is alive, that God is reigning, that God is ruling, and he is sovereign, and we can be confident in that. God is alive. Let all the earth rejoice. God is ruling. Let all the earth rejoice. Therefore, we can, according to Psalm 37, fret not because of evildoers. And we can be those who recognize that he shall make righteousness to go forth as the light and justice as the noonday. But there's a third thing that ought to be our response this morning to the fact that God is sovereign. Not only it fills us with a sense of awe, and it causes us to have confident joy in our lives, but because God's reigning today, because he is sovereign, I have this wonderful assurance as well. The church is triumphant today. The church is triumphant. There was a man, a radio personnel, a few years ago that kept telling us what? That the age of the church was gone. It was dead. It was over. And that the Lord had set aside the church. Well, I'm so glad because God is sovereign today that the church is triumphant. The church age is not over. God is still saving souls. God is still using his church throughout the world today. And certainly we need to stand forth as those who are triumphant today. Sometimes we get in a defeatist mode, don't we? And things get a little hard, and our message isn't quite as readily received as we'd like to have it received. And there are certainly persecutions going on that we don't know anything of in this land, but there are persecutions going on, and we say, well, I thought the church was supposed to be triumphant. Well, it is. Why? Because the Lord reigneth, and his truth is going to prevail. And I know that Steve Urban would like this. In Psalm 2:8, it says, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And Psalm 2:6 says, I will yet set my king upon my holy hill Zion. No, the plan of God has not been thwarted. No, the will of God has not been overturned. God is still sovereign, and he sits on the throne. And that's one of the things that I am so grateful for today, that God reigns and rules. And then let me finish with one personal word this morning. The sovereignty of God gives me personal peace. Personal peace. We can have calm and peace in the midst of a hectic world today. We can have calm and peace in the midst of great trial today, in great turmoil that we see worldwide. And certainly we have truth that God takes care of us and God meets our needs, but sometimes we fail to recognize that as we ought. And Psalm 139 is a wonderful psalm, and it reminds us that when God is doing his sovereign work, that sovereign work involves us individually, doesn't it? And he is acquainted with our steps, and he orders our steps, and he compasses our path, and there's no place that we can flee from his spirit. And certainly, because he is sovereign, he knows the trials, the joys, the sorrows, and we can rejoice and have peace and understand that he is holy, he is alive, he is strong and mighty, and he is sovereign today. And we can trust him in the midst of all those trials and difficulties. And because the Lord reigns, he will one day have that name that is above all names, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's worship him today as that high and holy and lifted up one. And then we can agree again with the Bible and truth when it says that all things work together for good because God is sovereign. God's in control. God reigns. Do you know him? Are you recognizing his sovereignty in your life? Does it bring you joy? Does it bring you peace? Does it bring you confidence? May God fill us with the awe of who he is and what he does. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today that you are the God of creation, that you are the sovereign one of the universe, that all of creation must bow before your glory and your holiness and your authority. And Lord, we see such turmoil in this world that just points us to the fact that we believe that your coming cannot be too far off. And yet in the midst of this turmoil and a world that seems to be going further and further astray every hour, we stand before your presence and bow before your throne and acknowledge you as that sovereign one. And that brings us humility. That brings us joy. That brings us peace. That brings us an ennobling because we have been chosen to work and serve in your mighty cause today. Help us to not fail to follow your leading. And so I pray that you would encourage us with this wonderful truth today, and that we might be thankful as we approach the Thanksgiving season that our God is in control. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.